I'd like to talk to you about God and giving for the tabernacle, and three passages from Exodus 25 to then 35 and 36. We won't be looking at all of these chapters, but we'll just be taking the story out of it. So first of all, I'd like to tell you the story, and in doing this, we'll just read the scripture. The story, first of all, Moses sat as the leader of the newly escaped Israel, no longer slaves, now dealing with their own nation. We find a challenge from Jehovah in Exodus 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me, literally take for me, an offering, or heave offering, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering, the heave offering. Heave offering was not a burnt offering. This was an offering given that was used for supplying the need of the priest or for other purposes. And this is the offering, or heave offering, which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, it says, or silk, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, not just your regular old ram skin, but dyed red, badger's skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Well, the challenge comes, and he doesn't say, bring me the white elephant from your closet that you haven't used in a year, and, you know, of course they just got out of slavery, so, but they had been given a bunch of stuff. They were, they looted Egypt, and that willingly, the people said, please take this and go. So they had actually great wealth. And now God asked them to give that to God. I mean, as Moses hears this, can you imagine with the trouble he's had already? I'm going to ask them for their gold and silver and all the precious stones. You're not going to find this acacia wood, shittim wood, growing in the desert. This is the things that, or well, maybe you will, but from only from time to time. So they, he's asking for top-of-the-line stuff. He's asking for things that will, in fact, be used for the tabernacle. But all that he tells them is that it's for him. Bring me, take for me this heave offering. Now, that's the challenge that he gave to them. Our challenge is to disciple all nations, make disciples of people all over the world. Olivia, that's your job. People in Ethiopia. But we're doing that even as we sent Pastor Emiru there, right? But this is a big job. William, you're supposed to disciple people all over the world. That's your job. That's my job, once you're a Christian. So did they have a big challenge? Yes. Do we? Oh, yes. We really do. Then that was the challenge from Jehovah to Moses, the leader. And now we see God's challenge related to God's people. In Exodus 35, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, and he's saying, he commanded me to tell you this, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever, and notice this, is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. Now again, I mentioned this morning that the special offerings were never demanded. This was no shakedown. And now he lowers the boom. Gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet cloth, fine linen, goat's hair. This is woven goat's hair, black goat's hair. They used for tents. Ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, for sweet incense, and onyx stones, stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Now, he hasn't explained ephod and breastplate, but it sounds like important stuff. Verse 10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make. You will take all the stuff that comes in and start constructing all that the Lord hath commanded. If you're wise-hearted, if you're capable of doing this. The tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his tashes, his boards, his bars, his pillars, his sockets, the ark, the staves thereof with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves, all his vessels and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar and his staves, the anointing oil and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its brazen grate, a grating where the sacrifice would be on top and the fire would be below, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot. The foot is the pedestal of the bowl. The hangings of the court, his pillars, their sockets, the hanging for the door of the court, pins of the tabernacle, the pins of the court, and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Now that phrase just kind of leaves you wondering, what are they going to think? See, these were people that were pretty easy to offend. What's he trying to do here? We got loaded up with all this stuff. Now he says, give it back. Use all this for some high and mighty religious thing. What are we going to build? We're traveling through the desert here, see? The wilderness. But here's what happened. God's people responded to his challenge. Exodus 35. And they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up. So it wasn't everybody. But everyone whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, and both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. They said, okay, let's do this thing. Every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams, badger skins, brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And notice this, and all the women that were wise-hearted. Talented, yes, sir.
Shittim wood, I was reading really quick. Shittim wood was used in ancient Egypt to make coffins. It was a fragrant wood.
Fragrant wood, okay. All the wood things, the understructure of all the things in the tabernacle made from this acacia wood or shittim wood. if they had brought any of that with them, they brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted, this is talented, able to do these things, did spin with their hands. This is turning the thread into the basic stuff into thread, and then weaving the thread into fabric. and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Notice this verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. There was just a great response. Something was going on here. There was a, I'll call it a revival movement among these people that were grasping for water and food and looking around how to live while they're in a wilderness. They said, let's do this. And let me then take you to Exodus 36. We see the meeting of the needs for worship. And they received of Moses all the offering, these are the workers, people who had volunteered for this, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. They were going through their stuff. They were cleaning out closets that they didn't have. They were looking through the bundles of things that they had packed. And they brought unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought, that worked all the work of the sanctuary, came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, they, the workers who were receiving it and making the stuff, they came and spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work. These workers had been brought in, been told by Moses. I don't know whether he wrote out blueprints and drawings and instructional concepts. All that had been shown him on the mountain of how to build this thing and what it was going to look like. Some of this was very specific. So they knew what it was going to take. And he says the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And I love this phrase. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. This is, wow, more than a conqueror. This was the people excited about this and had to be restrained from bringing it. Well, let's just look then at, that's the story. Let's look at the meaning. Let's chew this a bit. When my wife, Pastor Porter, was talking about his mother working and advancing through because she was a hard worker, I identified with that, not for me, but with my wife, because various places we've been, would go to the what was it called, where you they assign you people, I need temporary help. Yeah, that's it, temporary help. So she'd sign up and tell her skills. So one of the things that would happen is that they would send her, they would explain to her what needed to be done, have this pile of records that have to be through and do all this kind of stuff. And they said, well, it's probably going to be, I think sometimes they said like half a year or something like that, you know. Well, she finished it up in a few weeks, and almost always one of the things that they said to her is, are you free to be hired here? If we had somebody like you, we wouldn't have got that backlog of stuff. But while she was in the field doing this, one of the things that she found out is that they would have once a year kind of a challenge, and I guess each of the offices had its own challenge, to get 100% participation in giving to United Fund or whatever it was. So pressure was being put. It wasn't commanded, but it was pressure. And if you didn't give, you were letting the office down, because everybody was, you know, we want to do better than the other office and all that stuff. I hadn't ever encountered that, so I didn't know, you know, wasn't really thinking about how to do that. She was taught of the Lord of this thing, and she said, well, we already give. And they were thinking, well, that's a cheap way out, you know. They wonder why we don't give to their charities like the others of the world give. Well, let's look at this. Why the people of God were excited about this and were so willing to give that they had to be restrained from giving. Think of it this way. The offering went to the specified needs. This wasn't just in general. This was to build the tabernacle. If you stop and think about it, this holy place for the worship of Jehovah God, the true, the one and only true and living God. There was only one place in the world to worship Him properly. It wasn't in Tibet. You didn't have to climb a mountain. It was right there. But if the Tibetan people wanted to worship the true and living God, they'd have to come here. See? This is why God was setting up Israel with all of these wise laws and everything, because they were going to be a showplace of God. This was going to be, you know, a Shangri-La. This was going to be a utopia. This was going to be a place where the laws were so wise and it covered every area of human existence that people would be attracted to Israel. They would say, where did they get such wisdom, such knowledge to do this? How did these people, I thought they were just slaves here a while back, how did they get so smart? The offering went to specified needs. Exodus 36:3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. You see, the world's charities generally keep more than they give. You have, and I understand that if you're working at gathering the money and applying it places, that the people who, that's their job, those people need to be paid. I understand this. But sometimes you start looking at this and you find that, like a lot of these things that we're calling about helping the police and helping the firemen and all this kind of stuff, the truth comes out that maybe 10% of everything that was gathered in actually went to the charity. I don't think everybody's like that. I've heard that Salvation Army is the best in this, that the higher-ups are not wealthy because of this charity work. But it's different with us. The church uses all giving for the work of the service. We have what we call designated giving. Dr. Halcombe called me and said, I noticed that for the December gift that you sent to our school, that there was an extra $200. And he said, now I just wanted to check what that was for. I said, are you wanting me to say that it was for you to put in your pocket? He says, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. This is given to the school. But he said, sometimes you have extra money that's for the dorm. One of our members been faithful to put in extra money for that. And he was just checking. Why? Because the work of God is very specific. In fact, when we have had situations in the past where money was given to Open Door for a project that we could not endorse, we gave the money back. We said it's all right if you want to give it yourself, but we won't be involved. We won't sanction giving to that group, and we explained why. So the church uses all giving for the work of service, and you know, we have very clear expenses here, but it doesn't really amount to a whole lot. The second thing is this. The leaders communicated the specific needs to the people. This was not a general push. Give and we'll find out what to use it for. Give and we'll find out how big this thing's going to be. It was all very specific. Exodus 36:4. And all the wise men that wrought, that were the makers, all the work of the sanctuary, came every man from his work which they made, to say, enough was given. They were under the clear picture that which was donated was for a very specific purpose. And when there was enough for that, they said, they're giving too much. The fact is that the world's charities do not reveal their spending known to the people. Those books are not open. Investigators have had to go in and check these things out. However, the church records are open to all givers, not to anybody walking past the church, but if you are a giver, you have the right to check with the chairman of the board and the treasurer, and they open it up and show you exactly the money that you gave, how it was spent, and have the whole records there. In fact, we show that at the business meetings. The third thought is this. The people gave more than what was needed. I find this exciting because it meant that they gave, as he said, willingly. And only those that were willing gave. That means there were some that said, no, I don't think I want to do that. I think that means that. But there were enough that said yes, and they were excited enough that they gave more than what was needed. Exodus 36:5-7. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. We learn here that the people estimated God's work more important than personal wealth. It wasn't like they could hop over to Walmart and buy a whole bunch of stuff. These were people living off the land, all this kind of stuff. But as slaves, they knew to be careful with what they received, because you just never know when that's going to dry up and you'll have to do some other things. Yet, when this challenge was given to build something for the Jehovah God who brought them out of Egypt, they said, well, this work is more important than me keeping my personal wealth. And the people were excited, I think, to be a part of proclaiming God to the world. This was how you proclaim God to the world. You build something that is amazing, that is detailed and symbolic. You know, our church is like that. This quaint concept, you know, we meet together, we preach the Word of God, and people are saying, why do you do this? Why aren't you at, somebody was commenting about, forget where it is, I think it's where the Super Bowl is going to be. Where is that, going to be in the South?
Georgia.
Pardon?
I think Georgia.
Georgia, Atlanta. So they got the Super Bowl going, and guess what restaurant has been sanctioned to be in that structure? Chick-fil-A. which is closed on Sundays. Sunday is the big market push for all the sports stuff, and the restaurant is closed. Now, if you live in the area, you can walk down there and eat lunch there every day in the week, but it's closed on Sundays, Christian people. But these people were excited to be a part of proclaiming God to the world. We don't go off to do our recreation on a Sunday. Many of you have come to a situation where the people are at work were saying, well, what days are you available? And you say, well, not on Sundays. Not on Sundays. And the fourth and last thought is this. The leaders stopped the offering when the people completed the need. I want you to see the honesty of this. Exodus 36:6, Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work of the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. I don't think there's any other way to look at it, but that the people were happy to give in abundance. The women were making the cloth and bringing it in, weaving the cloth, making the thread, spinning and weaving, and bringing it in. But those in charge respected the property of the people. You know, today, we might expect greedy leaders to see, hey, we have a good thing with this. The people are responding to this. Let's keep it going artificially. Bring more in. We're going to add another story to the tent. No. See, it was a specific need. It was commanded by God. And they admit it. So it was honest leaders. Godly leaders, not greedy leaders, but godly leaders are thrilled when the people meet the need. And in doing that, they say, thank you. The need has been met. I wonder if you can imagine then God saying to us as Open Door and we as part of the great church of God, to actually put it out saying, well, we've covered the world. We've got active, vibrant missionaries now in every country. We have all these people are receiving the Lord. I think the work's done. Wouldn't that be amazing? After the Reformation, there was this thought that the work was going to go so well that the kingdom of God would come in and then Christ would be so impressed that he'd come back and say, okay, let's have a kingdom here. And they felt that. These were the people that sacrificed and went out and went to the islands and converted cannibals, risking their own lives, losing their own lives sometimes. I read a statement by a worldly man. He says, I'm not much for church, but I'm sure I'm glad when my ship got wrecked and landed on a desert island that the natives weren't cannibals anymore. I'm really glad that they got them converted. The work was being done. We had Moravians who were so dedicated that they went into the leper colony. And, of course, what that meant was that they could never leave. They themselves would become lepers. But they did that because the people there had never heard the gospel. There was this attitude that we can do this thing. And it seems to me that we who have been given the opportunity, the command, to reach the world with the gospel, have just the same challenge that they did for the tabernacle. The concept being, this is how we proclaim our God to the world. So my goal in this message and with this series of messages has been to perhaps open our thinking to say, how can we do more? I know I'm talking to the remnant of the church that does as much as anybody does. But we're putting this on record, recording this, sending it out, and asking, are you willing to not use as much for yourself and set the money aside, give it to the Lord for His work? Let's bow for prayer. Father, you've put what a great challenge for us, before us, with an example of people that were relatively newly saved, certainly newly brought out of slavery, the very picture of us being saved out of the slavery of sin. And they were excited enough to give of their own personal store, that which they had stored up, that which they were taking along for the new world, for the promised land. They had pictures of houses to build and animals to buy and all these things. But they were willing to set aside this vision of the future for the immediate need of proclaiming you to the world around, anyone who would care to look, care to notice. I ask, Father, that you might humble us with that knowledge that these people didn't know much. They hadn't been at it long enough to know much. But they trusted their leader. They trusted that this work would be done. They trusted that he would not try to align his own pockets, as it were, with what they were giving, but that what they gave would count for you. Now I ask, Father, you might so work in us that we'll have a clear picture of what this work is all about, that we give not to gold line our church building, but to enhance the work here and around the world. We have strategically missionaries that we support that reach well around the world. Child Evangelism Fellowship, the Don Ross Ministries, are reaching with their special work literally all around the world. And the specific missionaries in the specific places are doing just a tremendous, faithful job. Now I ask that you might so guide us that we, sitting at home looking at our budgets, can analyze this and say, what can we do to get this great job done? With heads bowed, eyes closed, is there among us then those that would say, this is what I need to do? And before God, I set this before Him. I intend to do more than I do, as much as I can. Pray for me. If that's a decision tonight, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Father, we thank you for the faithful people that are here and helping us out and doing so much. We pray that you might bless us, that our church would catch the vision that we can do this thing, we can accomplish this task. As great as it seems, almost unthinkable in its extent, to make disciples of all the world, to proclaim the true Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the world, to see all the nations become discipled. We pray that you might help us then to recognize that the workers faithfully in the field need support, that we, working here, supporting the works that we do, need support. We pray that you might burden us with it, with the joy, the willingness of heart, not only to give, but to make, to put together, to build the structure of it. We pray thy blessing on us then as we give, as we support your great challenge to us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.